The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The love of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the freedom of the Holy Spirit be with you.
Also with you.
I apologize. 2 or 3 weeks ago, Elsa preached on the same sentences. But I think it's another issue today, and I stressed on this verse, and you had the other one, and so I came with this sermon I preached in St. John's some weeks ago.
We don't care.
Okay. I like that. In St. Lydia's, we share after the sermon, but today we begin with sharing. I like you to look or to watch these two paintings I brought here, the whole way over the Atlantic. Perhaps you can just shift around, take your time, and take a minute or two and just look out what you discover and what are your feelings looking at it. Thank you. This one sentence of the gospel: the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord said, "If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could obey to the, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." People flee from their homes, flee from their countries, from war, from poverty, from exploitation, from diseases, to an unknown place. We rarely see pictures how they had lived at home. And sometimes I ask myself, how do people begin to flee? Is there a first step? Is there a first thought of it? Do they think of the consequences? Do they think of the length of the way, of the road? Do they calculate the heat in the desert? Or do they calculate how to cross the Mediterranean? Most of them are somehow forced to leave. Nevertheless, I suppose some of them wouldn't have begun this cruel adventure if they had known before what could happen. I don't know. The people of Israel accuses Moses. "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness?" And so may some refugees blame themselves on their ways. Wouldn't it have been easier to die at home, in Honduras or in Nigeria or anywhere else? I don't know. And I ask myself, is it faith when they leave everything? Is it faith what brings people to the borders? Is it faith that they will be saved through the waves and the desert drought? If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and be planted in the sea," and it will obey you. This famous mustard seed. Jesus sticks somehow to the mustard. Huh? Mustard is some small nothing, almost nothing. And this seed is almost nothing for itself, nothing to hold above you above the waves, and nothing which brings you faster through Texas or New Mexico, I think. And no one not able to swim brings her or his child on this poor rubber dinghy. I wouldn't, would you? Bring you or yourself on this boat. I can swim, okay, but together with 150 people on a boat constructed for 40, after several months in the Libyan detention camp, then forced by an armed man to leave my money and my passport there and enter this thing.
This is you?
Pardon?
This is you?
It is not me?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking of the story of those who are forced to go on this ship.
Okay.
Coming from Libya, coming from Algeria, coming from Morocco.
Okay.
Yeah. Nobody would do so, unless she has really no other chance. And perhaps a small piece of something. I would name it faith or hope or longing for life. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What if those were the strongest believers, those people on those ships, that someone would save them anyhow? They are longing to reach the shores of Europe. They consider the arrival in the US as the arrival in the promised land, I think. And those people with their huge, tiny faith of love and life and longing, I actually believe we couldn't have a better chance to learn more about life and faith than to ask them. But what do we do in Europe? A bit different, but perhaps similar to you. There's no need to build a wall in Europe. The Mediterranean is our natural wall. Very practical. Not any more useful ocean to let people meet and exchange their goods and behaviors and languages. No, water wall against intruders. I like to take a step back, a short back break, and for that I'd like to tell you when I painted this. In the beginning, perhaps you heard of it, in the beginning of this year, the blaming of refugees in Germany for all the evil in the world rose up more and more. Mainly one party started with that, called Alternative for Germany. They spread out alternative facts, of course, alternative truths, and they think they are the real alternative for Germany. They are somehow our equivalent to your current Republicans. Every country gets what it owns somehow. And I had to paint something in these months, January to March, and I began with a meditation of what I've seen on photographs and in the news weeks and months before, photographs of those rubber dinghies from an airplane, pics of them destroyed at the shore, people on them waving their arms, not able to reach out to a harbor. One rubber dinghy was 2017 on a shore site in the town, in the Luther town, Wittenberg, brought from Italy there with an Arabian inscription there to get an idea of this cool journey. And especially the governors of Italy, especially the former Minister of Inner Affairs, Salvini, gave order, the rescue boat must not land. So they were cruising with those people, friends, refugees, for days, weeks, month or two to get an allowance to enter a harbor in Italy or Malta. The people on board were dehydrated and in very bad shape. And that's still going on the Mediterranean. That's our desert. And they're just coming, and we are told by some politicians, we are told rescue boats shouldn't go there. And actually, our Lutheran church has now bought a rescue ship, to be there present on the Mediterranean. And to show this must not happen, that people just leave on those small ships. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. Sometimes it's hard to believe that God is still in this world. God witnesses all this, doesn't she? And to ask for faith means to me two things, to face God and to confront him with all my questions. But the second is as important. Are we able to face it, literally? To turn our faith into a situation or to a person, am I ready to face it? And I think people who blame refugees for their life, for their being, for their coming, they try to avoid something. They avoid eye contact. And that's something I know from myself. And I have to admit I do the same. Here in the metro or in my hometown, I avoid eye contact, especially to homeless people. I can bear this. How do you do this here in the metro? It's, for me, it's quite terrible to to be seen. And what's happening while we avoid eye contact? First, I think I don't like to see all these ugly pants and unwashed hair and stuff like that. Yeah, it's the same with the refugees. How can one have washed hairs if she is not even drinking water on this boat? But I don't think that's actually that what I try to avoid. I think on the streets, I try to avoid being seen by the ones who live on the streets or meet people like them, to seen by the refugees, by those friends. That makes me uncomfortable. It's insecurity. But not the one of the person I see, but my own insecurity. It's me who is asked, it's me whose humanity is asked. Often I think, oh, those poor people on their flight, how can they survive and how can they even believe anything? And we have to work on this, that they survive and get a sanctuary in Germany or in the US. But in the same second, I can ask myself, how can I bear that one single child on those rubber dinghies in the Mediterranean becomes seasick, thinking this does not touch my faith? If I had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, I could face every child, person, refugee, and neighbor at eye level, and I could see this sister and brother as a master of my faith, and she or he would tell me about God. Amen.